Today we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 27, attack by Chandavega on the city of Puranjana. We were hearing about the attack, men attacking women and vice versa. This is another attack by time factor, the city of the embodied soul, Puranjana. Text number 2.
Sarajamahishimrajan
Sushnatam ruchirananam Kritasvastyayanam triptam Abhyanandat upagatam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The queen took her bath and dressed herself nicely with all auspicious garments and ornaments. After taking food and becoming completely satisfied, she returned to the king. Upon seeing her beautifully decorated, attractive face, the king welcomed her with all devotion. If you like to repeat. The queen took her bath and dressed herself nicely with all auspicious garments and ornaments. After taking food and becoming completely satisfied, she returned to the king. Upon seeing her beautifully decorated, attractive face, the king welcomed her with all devotion. Purport. A woman is generally accustomed to dress herself nicely with fine garments and decorative ornaments. She may even sometimes wear flowers in her hair. Women especially dress themselves up in the evening because the husband comes home in the evening after working hard all day. It is a duty of the wife to dress herself up very nicely so that when her husband returns home, he becomes attracted by her dress and cleanliness and thus becomes satisfied. In other words, the wife is the inspiration of all good intelligence. Upon seeing one's wife dressed nicely, one can think very soberly about family business. When a person is too anxious about family affairs, he cannot discharge his family duties nicely. A wife is therefore supposed to be an inspiration and should keep the husband's intelligence in good order so that they can combinedly prosecute the affairs of family life without impediment. Saraja Mahishim Rajan Susnatam Ruchirananam Kritasvastyayanam Triptam Abhyanandat Upagatam. The queen took her bath and dressed herself nicely with all auspicious garments and ornaments. After taking food and becoming completely satisfied, she returned to the king. Upon seeing her beautifully decorated, attractive face, the king welcomed her with all devotion.
Mukam karoti vachalam
Pangum langayate kirim yat kripatamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam tam shrimat krishna chaitanya devam vande jagat gurum yasyanukampaya svapi mahabdi santaret sukham. We continue with the readings on the allegory of Puranjana explained by Narada Muni to King Prachinavarhi Shad. It is an allegory, and there are two main dimensions on the story of Puranjana and his queen Puranjani. Puranjana represents the embodied soul within the body, the king, and the queen represents the intelligence. And the soul and the God-given intelligence should work cooperatively in order to achieve the final goal of life, which is self-realization or going back home, back to Godhead. This is one meaning. Another dimension of the analogy, the allegory, is the duties of husband and wife, and how when husband and wife do not perform properly their duties, there is disturbance at home, and both have to suffer. Today I like to focus more on the first aspect of the allegory, the embodied soul and the God-given intelligence, perhaps touching a little bit on the example of family life, husband and wife, but looking into it more from a broader perspective. Like the wife is mentioned here as how she should dress herself nicely for the pleasure of the husband. This will be the classical duties in classical traditional societies, Vedic society, also other religious traditions. The husband will work hard to take care of the family, and the wife will work hard at home, taking care of the household and the children, and making sure everything is functioning properly, creating a peaceful atmosphere. And here specifically it is mentioned that the wife should be ready to welcome the husband after he has been working very hard. She should perform her duty of welcoming the husband by having everything properly set up. The house should be clean. It's not that the husband is working the whole day, then he comes back and the house is a mess. And how there can be peace in such a house? It is not possible. So the idea is that both, in the ideal relationship, regardless the fact that they will help each other in their duties, but husband will take nice care of the wife, and will take nice care of providing, and the wife will take responsibility for keeping the household in proper order. And this will be done by both of them, regardless whether they feel like doing it or not. This is dharma. Dharma means duty, higher principle. I like it, I don't like it, that's secondary. Modern society teaches us to do things in a very superficial manner because you feel like doing them, you like them. You like them, you do them. You don't like them, you don't do them. And this many times functions in a very whimsical way. And therefore we see that to have a steady family nowadays is an imagination in many in many cases, in many communities. Here in Belgium, Belgium is supposed to be one of the most religious countries in Europe, or with a great religious background. They say, according to statistics I read once, 75% of the marriages break apart. Three quarters. So that's a big thing. It's a big percentage. So, which means that perhaps we have something to learn from the traditional family systems to find some balance. So, and this applies not just to family life, this applies to every aspect in our life. We have many duties to perform, duties with the family, with society, within the community. Here we are living in a community. And sometimes we like to do our duties, we feel like doing them, and sometimes we don't feel like doing them. We feel like doing something else, or like to remain sleeping until 10 o'clock in the morning under the blanket. Isn't it? Sometimes we may feel like that. But still, the Dharma is, we rise up early in the morning. We rise up early in the morning, and there is a higher principle. The higher principle is the principle of selflessness. It means, instead of acting selfishly for our own ourself, me, and only me, this is what we are taught in the modern value system. So, of course, some cooperation is taught also, but one problem in the modern secular, godless secular systems, social systems, is that the cooperation is taught for the purpose, for the selfish purposes. We're going to cooperate so I can enjoy more. This is a problem. The cooperation should be taught or should be applied for the service of others, because we are servants by nature. We are servants of God, servants of Krishna, by constitution, by natural essential nature, and we are also servants of everybody else. And when we serve others, we feel happy. When we offer service in a selfless manner, even if we don't feel like doing it, we do it, then we feel better. So this can be applied in every aspect. And to distribute duties and to perform them to please the rest, to please first Krishna, and then, or at the same time, the rest of the community, the rest of the family, the society, the devotees. This is the higher principle that we need to base our life on, in order to be able to create harmony, to follow the natural laws of the universe, the natural laws of God. I remember when I was in my mid-teens, I was cooking for the Sankirtan devotees. That was my service. I did that for 2 years. In the beginning, I didn't know how to cook. I remember this, the GBC and the guru at the time, Bhagavan Prabhu, asked me, "Are you experimenting with the devotees?" Because I didn't know how to cook. So I was doing my best, whatever I could. So he was joking, "Are you experimenting with them?" Then some devotee, when my Sankirtan leader, Param Purusha Prabhu, and other cooks, they were kind to me and they taught me how to cook a little so that we'll be able to offer something decent. So I was cooking during some time, and in those years there was very much pressure to go out and preach, meet people and preach. There was tremendous pressure, so much social pressure within the community that if you will not go out, you will feel guilty that you are not doing your duty properly. And even though I was doing a lot of service, I was cooking, was washing the clothes of the devotees, taking care of the accounts, cleaning the house, doing many things, still I felt the pressure of going out. And due to that pressure, once I asked a visiting sannyasi, Keshavavaradi Goswami Maharaj, he came to visit the traveling Sankirtan party, and I asked him a question. I said, Maharaj, it was a marathon. We were doing December marathon, distributing big amounts of books. And I felt more urgency, not urgency, I felt social pressure to go out. And I felt it was too much. I was getting drained because I was trying to do too much. Can you imagine cooking for 8 or 9 people, cleaning the house, wash your clothes, take care of the accounts, change your rounds, eat some prasad? And I didn't have time to read Prabhupada's books. So I went to him and I said, Maharaj, how can I presented the question in a way I was not directly revealing my problem. My problem is that I had too much pressure, but I didn't know how to express it. So I expressed it in a way more or less like that. He said, how can I find time to read Prabhupada's books? Because I'm to go out in Sankirtan. I wanted to find some less pressure, to be peaceful and to be able to do my service properly. So I was very agitated, my mind was very disturbed. So then he gave a very nice answer, which was, on those days was revolutionary. It's common sense, you will hear it now. But in those years, it was revolutionary because everyone was pushing you have to go out, or else you are in Maya. If you don't go out, you are in Maya. Did you go out today? Totally drained. And yes, I went 1 hour out. So, of course, it's very good to go out and to preach, but we should do it happily and in having a proper lifestyle, Krishna conscious lifestyle. So then he told me, actually, you don't need to, don't worry about going out or not going out. You just, what you have to do, you should do your service very, very carefully to please the devotees. You should clean the house very carefully, put nice incense so that when the devotees come back, they smell nicely, so they come from the street, they are fighting all day, like meeting people and endeavoring. It's hard work. So let them come back, find a very peaceful atmosphere, put some nice music, cook some nice, very nice prasad, and then when they come, they will feel so happy that the next day they will distribute many more books, and this will be your book distribution. I felt immediately, and you take 1 hour per day to read the Bhagavatam, to read Prabhupada's books. That instruction helped me so much. Helped me throughout my life. Helped me, because I started to read systematically Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, I would have not been performing properly my service. And later on, after 2 years, I was able to go on book distribution full time. So, and this is very much related to the example given here. The wife, she should perform her duty nicely, and the approach is, selfless. It is done for the pleasure of the other. So we do the service not for our pleasure, to say, look how well dressed I am. I'm so beautiful. I'm so strong. But for the pleasure of the other, for service. And then in this way, this creates a very, very pure, very nice atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere, which is conducive for the service of the Lord. And we can apply this in every service we do within a community. If we are cooking for the devotees, trying to cook in the best way, what will be pleasing to the devotees? Serving the deities, what is going to please the Lord the most? That spirit of seva, serving. And this is higher, and sometimes that it may mean that some days we don't feel so much like doing it. But still, when we apply the principle of pleasing Krishna and pleasing the devotees, then we feel inspired. Isn't it? Don't you have that experience when we do that, when we do things for pleasing? It's very inspiring. When we do it for our own selfish goals, thinking of ourselves, then that creates an imbalance, a problem. So therefore, there should be cooperation between the intelligence, the intelligence and the soul. And intelligence can be also referred to an intelligent way of arranging our life, managing our life. Like, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, we find the teachings given by Krishna in chapter 6. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta chestasya karmasu, yukta svapna babudasya, yogo bhavati dukkaha. That the person who is balanced in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can achieve success in life through the practice of yoga. Can mitigate the suffering. The material world is a place of dukkha, a place of suffering, and it is difficult to find a peaceful atmosphere. The mind is very, by nature, is very active, very agitated. So how we will find such a peaceful atmosphere? We will do it by organizing our life in a very positive, balanced, Krishna-conscious service mood. And this will create a peaceful atmosphere for ourselves. Like, for example, also, if we go to our room, we have a room. If our room is a mess, how there can be peace in such a room? We need to have everything properly. Everything has its place. This is sattva guna, mode of goodness. But it's very, very simple, but many times we don't do it. So we need to invest time in taking care of the intelligence. Like the husband has to take care of the wife. If he doesn't take care of the wife, then the wife will go to someone else. And vice versa. If the wife doesn't take care of the husband will go to someone else. So if they take care of each other, then family life can function properly. And it should be done like we read, the king welcomed her with all devotion. When we serve, naturally we inspire service also. And the more selflessly we serve, the more service we inspire. And this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. How to serve Krishna, how to serve the devotees, how to serve every soul in the world by by giving them spiritual experience, spiritual knowledge, spiritual food, prasadam. We cook prasadam and we distribute it, or we serve it here in the restaurant so that the people can come and have a pleasant experience. We give mahaprasadam to the guests who come. So we serve others in this way, by giving transcendental knowledge, the holy name of the Lord, Krishna prasadam. And then people, naturally, they want to participate. They want to do something also. If we go to the people to try to take something, give me your money, we go, I want to preach to you, but I'm thinking of your money. Give me your money. Give me a good donation. Then the flow is not good, because I'm thinking, I'm selfish, I'm thinking of, okay, it's for Krishna also, so it is not bad to take some money for Krishna, that's fine, but the spirit should be, we are giving. And then, of course, it is a natural exchange that the person wants to give, and then we take and we offer it to Krishna. But the mood is to give. We give. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So these are some reflections on today's verse regarding how the queen dressed herself very nicely, and how the king, he was very inspired, and he responded to her with devotion. There was a natural loving exchange, and this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to facilitate loving exchanges among souls who want to serve God together. Facilitate selfless loving exchanges. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you would like to ask questions or make comments, Alakananda Mataji. Yes, I mean, in that particular case, of course, each case may be different, but in that particular case, I think it was both. There was external pressure, and I was putting pressure on myself. Many times we also do that. We tend to put undue pressure on ourselves, pressure in an unhealthy way. And that does not help anybody. So therefore, it's good, like the balance should be there. Therefore, the husband, the king, he goes outside, he's working hard, and the wife, she's taking care at home, they cooperate. Okay, we are not against women working also and men washing dishes. We don't have a problem with that. There should be cooperation also. But the roles, the essential duties should first be taken care of. If the mother puts the child in a school where the children are abused, for example, and she's working many hours, she's not taking care of the little child, what's the point? Should be there should be a system where the children are nicely taken care. Of course, they will go to school. Should be a nice school with good child protection policies and so on. So, but there should be a balance so that there is harmony within the person and within the family and the community. So we should be careful not to put unhealthy pressure on ourselves. Some natural pressure is good, like a little pressure is good. Like, otherwise we cannot live without any pressure. If there is no pressure, there is no life. Like, there is blood pressure, isn't it? There is blood pressure. If there is no blood pressure, we are dead. There should be water pressure, otherwise we cannot even take a shower. So there are so many kinds of pressure. We should take it into consideration. Some pressure should be there, but should be balanced. Not too much, not too little. Not too much eating, not too little eating. If we eat too much, we become ill and fat. And if we eat too little, we become also ill and too skinny. So we should find the balance. Not too much sleep, not too little sleep. If we don't sleep enough, then we cannot differentiate between day and night anymore. And the intelligence cannot think properly. We cannot function. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports that proper sleep is necessary so that the intelligence can function properly. So, we should be aware of what's happening. Krishna is giving us the intelligence. What's happening in my body? What's happening in my mind? And pay attention to that in order to perform properly service to Krishna and service to the devotees, to the community, to the family. So this is important. A little pressure should be there, but should not be unhealthy. Unhealthy means, like many times, the guilt, the feelings of guilt. Of course, also guilt has its place, but many times we use the guilt to not do our duty. We don't do our duty, then we feel guilty about it. Just do the duty and feel good. Isn't it? But we have patterns, strange behavioral patterns, that many times embodied souls tend to apply. So, okay, let's serve happily to the best of our ability. And let's learn from others who are more experienced. In this case, Keshava Bharati Maharaj, he was very, very kind to me, and he was sharing his experience. He could see, because of his experience, he had been distributing books for many years, and he was also helping as the treasurer in the Radha Damodar Sankirtan Party in North America during Srila Prabhupada's times. So he had experience of both kinds of service, going out to the street and working at home. Based on his experience, he could see this is what this poor, inexperienced devotee needs. So he told me, do this. And I was so happy. So it was a little advice from someone experienced can change our perspective. Therefore, we should also approach others who are more experienced for personal advice. Mentoring, counseling is very important. We go to someone whom we consider more experienced and present our dilemmas. I have this dilemma. And then the person, the devotee, listens to us. And sometimes he may give an advice, sometimes he will make a little comment, sometimes he will just say, it's okay, you are doing good, don't worry. You're moving in the right direction. I'm seeing you, and you seem to be doing pretty well. and then that gives us strength to continue. Other, is that okay? Other comments or questions? Yes. Yes. Yes, you are right that it is different for each person. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was so much spiritually empowered that he was able to sleep very few hours, 3-4 hours, and he was functioning perfectly. And then sometimes we find someone who is like who has a psychophysical like kappa nature. Also, he may need 7-8 hours to sleep. Kappa people, according to Ayurveda, they need more time of sleep. So then when we plan our life, we should measure ourselves against ourselves, not against others. This will be an unhealthy way of also functioning. We measure ourselves to... Of course, we have the ideal, Srila Prabhupada tells. Our ideal is the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They slept, they forgot about eating and sleeping. They were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that they will forget. So that's our ideal. But we cannot imitate that artificially. So the ideal is there, we appreciate, we value such exalted examples, the Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and yet, we also see where we are at, see what's our present situation, and we build up our Krishna consciousness under the guidance of the spiritual master and the devotees from there, from where we are. Any last point? Surya Kund Prabhu? Very, very good point. Yes, for the kitchen, those who are listening from in the kitchen, Surya Kund Prabhu mentioned that in the beginning there was pressure, and during Srila Prabhupada's times, sometimes there will be pressure, but it was devotees were doing things out of love for Prabhupada and for Krishna. They were inspired, naturally inspired. Then later on, they were heavy. He said, he used the term heavy swamis, heavy leaders who will force and push others to do it. Like, if you will not do it, you are fool, you don't do this. And now we have democracy that, I don't know exactly what you mean, democracy. Everything is equals the same, like the opinion of the newcomer, the person who is practicing 80 years, it's everything is democracy. So do you mean that? And then sometimes we have systems. Okay, we have this temple, It's pretty organized. It's nicely, there is nice management in this community. In some communities, we have things unorganized, and then they say, in Spanish, in Spain, where I was born, we have a saying, el uno por el otro y la casa sin barrer, which means the one by the other, this will be the literal translation, and the house remains without being swept. So democracy sometimes, everyone has an opinion, but when it comes to the fact of doing the job, who does the job? So, of course, Srila Prabhupada also used democracy in like the GBC is a democratic body. They take decisions in a democratic fashion. But also he established the principle of spiritual authority based on experience and responsibility. That's important. Okay, we end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.